You're Locked On Blue Jackets, your daily podcast on the Columbus Blue Jackets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Blue Jackets fans, happy Tuesday. Welcome to Locked On Blue Jackets. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am, as always, your host, Jay Foster. Today, we're going to be talking to Jeff Sobota. We've got a little bit of an off-season review, looking at the new guys, talking about some of the old guys that left, a little bit of Tortorella talk. You know, we love Tortorella talk here at Locked On Blue Jackets. But if this is not enough hockey news for you, then go to Locked On NHL, where you can find out who we voted as this season's top 50 NHL players. Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano, and Rachel Donner have been revealing the top 50 players as voted on by our local experts across the Locked On NHL network of podcasts. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On NHL on YouTube. Make sure you turn your notifications on so you never miss an episode. Today, they're going to be doing players 20 through 11. And then on Friday, we're going to be giving you the top 10 players that we have decided here at the Locked On NHL Network. But that's over on Locked On NHL. As for here, I'm going to jump right into my conversation with Jeff.
So the season marches closer and closer. I feel like the old season just finished, but somehow preseason is in like 3 weeks, which seems weird. But I figured who better to come and have a chat about the off-season, about what the Blue Jackets have got to look forward to, than Jackets insider himself. So I'm going to be talking to Jeff Sobota today. Thanks for coming back on the show. It's been about a year, I think. So
that sounds about right. Yeah, but it's good to be back.
So let's start off with the biggest missing piece. Let's start off with the biggest change, I think, which is the coaching situation. Obviously, no more Tortorella. Brad Larson's in the driver's seat. Have you seen much of him so far this season, or?
Yeah, well, I do know he's been working quite a bit. It's interesting right now, they're actually tearing up the locker room here at Nationwide Arena. They're completely rebuilding it. So I haven't been downstairs much. There's more construction equipment than there is hockey equipment here at the arena right now. But I know he's been quite busy trying to get, you know, ready for the upcoming season. Obviously, I think that is the biggest change from the aspect of, it's as crazy as I think about it. Since I started working for the Blue Jackets, John Tortorella has been the head coach. And I mean, the head coach decides so much of kind of what goes on around a team. And so there's going to be a transition, you know, from that perspective of just who you're talking to on a daily basis and things like that. That doesn't even begin to pale in comparison to what the team is going through from his leadership and stuff. So, yeah, it's interesting to think about. I mean, Torts was one of the longest tenured coaches in the NHL. And really built the team in his image a lot. So it's going to be a little bit different with Lars here. I think, you know, the two of them have a lot of things in common. Their dedication, their passion, their belief in the way that a team should be run and the culture that they think a team should have. But Lars is obviously different. And, you know, I've interviewed him this offseason and, you know, asked him about, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, you're coming from being an assistant coach on this team, what's going to be different when you're in charge? And he said, what's going to be different than Torts? I mean, there's no one else like Torts. And so obviously I'm going to be very different than him. And so when you think of it that way, it's like, okay, that's a good point. It is going to be very different. And so it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Obviously Lars is a first time head coach. You know, there's probably going to be some things that he's going to have to learn on the job. That's the same with anybody doing a job for the first time. But I know he's very well liked around the league. He's very well liked around the team. Very well respected for the way that, you know, the discipline and the culture that he establishes and his work ethic and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. And obviously this is, you know, on the ice, personnel wise, going to be a very different team as well. And so who knows exactly how that's all going to work out. You look around at the preseason predictions and the Jackets don't seem to be faring very highly so far. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, what makes a good coach? A lot of the time, the answer is good players. There are certainly going to be different players for the Blue Jackets this year, and we will see how Lars handles that and, you know, how he's able to bring everybody together. But like I say, different faces. It'll be maybe a little bit harder to judge him. You know, people use the terms rebuild, reload. So it's going to be maybe somewhat hard off the top to kind of judge how he's doing. But I know he's excited to get started. That's for sure.
Yeah, I feel like the Blue Jackets are such a weird team in terms of, I feel like every time I look at the roster and I'm like, oh, this is a good roster. They're going to be pretty good this season. Like I think about the, I want to say the 2015-16 season where they just like murdered everyone in the preseason. Brad Hazard was new in town. They had that top line that could just score against basically anyone. And then, of course, that was the 0-8 year. And then the year after Bobrovsky and Panarin left, it was, I looked at the roster and I was like, oh, I don't know if this is a playoff roster. And then they turned around and were like, actually, we are going to make the playoffs. We're going to beat Toronto. And okay, they didn't fare as well against Tampa Bay as they as the previous year. But I feel like as soon as I write the Blue Jackets off as, oh, they're going to be not great this season, they turn around and are like, well, actually, we're going to be good just despite you. So it could be it could be an interesting season. I have absolutely no idea what to think. And yeah, like you said, a lot of new faces, a lot of departures. Obviously, Nick Foligno's gone to Boston. Seth Jones, I feel like, is probably the biggest on the ice loss. You know, he played a lot of minutes. I know he's taken some flack from like the analytics crowd this offseason and previous season, but like what kind of, like the defense now, I feel like it's Zach Werenski and Vladislav Gavrikov, and then either new guys or kids, and it's going to be interesting to see how the defense shakes out. Obviously, losing someone who played, you know, like 28 minutes on average.
Coming up in a minute, I've got more of a conversation with Jeff about the defense on the team. But first, I've got to tell you about betonline.ag, because it's that time of year again and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get the latest updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today to receive a 100% welcome bonus if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, even right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait, take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. Once again, that is promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, LOCKEDON, at betonline.ag for a 100% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I've also got to tell you about Stat Hero. Do you know that 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? I mean, is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts. They've got more tools, more time, and you don't stand a chance. Introducing Stat Hero. It is the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It is you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes, winner takes all. You have the advantage, and Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time, which no one else does. You're in total control. Stat Hero is DFS the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. So play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, sign up for free, and right now you can get 3x back on your first play. That's right, they're giving you a 300% match, which is unheard of. If you go to stathero.com/lockedon, once again, stathero.com/lockedon.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's going to be one of the biggest transitions, I think, for this team is losing Seth Jones, just because of what he brought. I mean, he and Zach Werenski played, as you said, you know, 25 minutes a game together, sometimes more than that. And really their identity of the way that they wanted to play hockey over the last 4 or 5 seasons was built off of those two guys, was playing those guys together. And you knew Zach Werenski and Seth Jones were on the ice together. You know, they were going to be, you know, guys who could get it done on both ends of the ice. I mean, they were a dependable duo no matter where you wanted to play them. You could start them in the offensive zone. You could start them in the defensive zone. You could put them on the power play. You could put them on the penalty kill. You know, so much of the game, almost half of the game over the last couple of years was played by those two guys. And so you take one of those guys out of the equation, and that's going to be a very big shoes you have to fill. And there's, and you are right, there's a lot of debate out there about exactly how good Seth Jones was. I mean, obviously, I think he's a great player. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, was he an elite player? It has looked at times throughout his career like, yeah, he's an elite player, one of the top, you know, three or four defensemen in the NHL. And there were probably times where he was more a great player, maybe one of the top 10 to 15 defensemen in the NHL, which, of course, nothing to sneeze at. But I think, you know, there is a belief that Seth Jones, you know, should be one of the top three or four defensemen in the NHL. And there were probably times where he wasn't there, and he would admit it. There were times he talked about 2 years ago that he didn't think he got off to a great start. I don't think even last year he thought that he, you know, was really off to the best possible beginning that he could have been off to. And that was one of the reasons he and Zach kind of struggled at the start of last year. And that's one reason the team wasn't very good at the start of a season ago. So, you know, but at the end of the day, let's be honest. I mean, Seth Jones is a great player. There's no two ways around that. And so you have to fill 27, 28 minutes a game with that. And how are you going to do that? And so then the question becomes who steps up? And you know, you look at, you know, obviously Zach Werenski stays on the first unit, first pair. Vladislav Gavrikov is more of a defensive guy. So you can kind of pencil him in as like a second liner, defensive defenseman type. And so then who do you pair with those guys? You know, there's a bunch of options. You know, they're, most of them are familiar to Blue Jackets fans. There are two new guys. Obviously, you know, they make the trades with Seth Jones. They bring in Adam Boqvist and Jake Bean. You know, Boqvist was becoming an NHL regular with Chicago, only 21 years old, thought to have really high level offensive abilities. Bean comes in as more of a two-way guy, but was playing some power play minutes with Carolina last year, was a regular defenseman with them. You know, was a good, strong third pair guy for a really, really good team last year. So you can kind of slot him in. You know, maybe he plays with Gavrikov. Maybe Boqvist goes in with Werenski, just because maybe that's your new offensive kind of duo. But there's a lot of pieces still to be filled in. There's names like Dean Kukin and Scott Harrington. And I'm trying to think of who else comes back. Mikko Lettinen was a guy who was here last year. They brought back Gavin Bayreuther. I know I'm forgetting some guys. But it's a lot of the names that you've become familiar with as Blue Jackets watchers over the years. And so, it'll be interesting because you're not exactly sure how that group fits together, and you have to fill a lot of time with Seth Jones being out. But at the same time, you know, they've got a lot of young guys they believe in and who they think are really going to be able to make those jumps forward. Guys like, you know, the Boqvist and Bean especially. You say Boqvist is 21, Bean's 23. I think there's a thought that those guys are going to be really good NHL players over the next couple of years, and this is going to be their chance to shine. So, and if they don't, you've got, you know, the Dean Kukins and some of the younger guys that they've and mid-range guys that they really like as well. Andrew Peak's a guy I forgot that I think they really have high hopes for. So, and he's a guy that if he has a really good year, I think projects as like a top four defenseman in the NHL as well. So it becomes a chance for a lot of guys to grab that opportunity that's available and run with it. So I'm not sure how it's going to shake out. There's about 10 guys there that I think they really like. And, you know, at some point they'll figure it out. But at the end of the day, you know, there's enough opportunity there and enough names that they could end up, it could end up working out for them.
Yeah, I feel like it's pretty good timing to have obviously a brand new head coach. And, you know, you've got this much movement in the defense. Obviously, you know, Werenski's penciled in as that number one guy. I was really interested he did a press conference just after signing his extension where he talked about how he was excited to be Zach Werenski and not part of Werenski and Jones.
Yeah.
And so I'll be interested to see how he does, not necessarily on his own, but with a different partner. Cause I feel like we haven't seen Werenski without Jones basically ever. Like even when the Blue Jackets were struggling and it was, you know, we were mixing the pairings up, it's always been, you go back to Jones and Werenski. So I'll be really interested to see that. But yeah, this is the time to play around with it, you know, like put Boqvist on that top spot, put Bean on that top spot, see how Kukan does, you know, it's it'll be interesting.
In a minute, I've got some more conversation with Jeff, but first I've got to tell you about Built Bar. You all know about Built Bar by now. It is delicious, it is nutritious. But did you know that Built Bar has a mixed box? So if you don't know what your favorite flavor is yet, you can get a mixed box, where you'll get two of each of the 9 flavors. And you can pick your favorite and go from there. I really like the mint brownie. I really like the coconut one. There's a bunch of really good flavors. Salted caramel, also super good. And not only are they the best tasting, they're good for you as well. You can get a delicious snack for less than 180 calories. They've got 18 grams of protein, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. So order today and get raspberry or cookies and cream. Or if you're lucky, there might be a special limited edition flavor like grasshopper cookie or rocky road or coconut brownie chunk. That's a really good one. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Once again, that is promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15. For 15% off at built.com.
And I think the forwards are going to be interesting as well, because I feel like we haven't really got a solid top six. Or no, let me rephrase that. I think we have a lot of top six players. I don't know how things are going to shake out yet. Obviously, we've got Lino, we've got Voracek, and then it kind of from there is like, those are two guys I would pair together, but then beyond that, I'm like, which... I don't know, stick three guys together and see what happens, you know?
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing, and I wrote a story a couple weeks ago kind of projecting what the lineup's going to be based off of the offseason moves that they made. And if you look at it, the biggest problem, and it's been a problem in Columbus for a long time, is still the center position. You look at, you know, Jack Roslovic proved a year ago, I think, to a lot of people that he can be a top six center. Is he a number one or is he a number two? You know, his numbers last year were probably still number two level numbers. But he's also still, you know, first full year playing that position at the NHL level. Does he get better this year? Do you put him with Patrick Laine, a guy he's played with, you know, coming from Winnipeg, and have Voracek on the other side and think, you know, maybe, you know, Roslovic even takes another step next year, which could happen. I think you are right that Laine plays with Voracek. I think that trade, whether they explicitly said it or not, bringing in Jake Voracek was we want somebody that we think can play with Patrick Laine. If you look at Jake Voracek's numbers over the last 10 years, whether it be power play or 5-on-5, he's been one of the best distributors of the puck in the NHL. And so they think that he's a guy, whereas Cam Atkinson was more of a shoot first guy, you know, would always have more goals and assists. You know, Voracek's an assist guy. So you put Voracek with Patrick Laine, you think you got something there. But they still run into issues at the center position, I think, especially with Max Domi being out for the first little bit of the season, whether it be a month or two. I think, you know, if Max Domi comes back and plays well, you've got another top six center you can slide in there to play with guys like Oliver Bjorkstrand, Gus Nyquist. Does Alexander Texier make a step this year? Does he play center and they just say, you're just going to play center and figure it out? Or do they say, you know, if Domi comes back and we like you at wing and you feel like you can score there, now that you're in your third season in the NHL, third full year, like, are you ready to take that step? And so, you know, at the end of the day, somebody needs to take a step there. I think for this lineup to kind of shake out, you need Roslovic to take another step. You need Domi to come back and play like he did 2 years ago. You need Texier to maybe take a step. And so some combination of those things has to happen for them to probably score enough goals. Cause if you do look around, I mean, they're still, you know, Patrick Laine is a really good player. Jake Voracek's probably not quite the same guy he was a couple of years ago, just because, you know, age gets to everybody, but he's still, you know, pound for pound, one of the best distributors in the NHL. You know, Oliver Bjorkstrand is one of the most underrated players in the league, and they've got young talent, guys like say, Alexander Texier and maybe Emil Bemström. We saw it a little bit last year. But it becomes a situation where some of these guys have to take a step and they have to do it consistently for this team to be a team that's going to challenge for a postseason. Because if you look at it right now, it's tough to, and I think they're better than people are giving them credit for. There's still some really darn good players on this team. But everybody in the NHL has some darn good players. If they're going to be a team that's going to compete, a couple guys, and they're guys who you think can do it. Like I say, the Texas of the world and things like that. You know, Adam Boquist was the eighth overall pick. Jake Bean was the first round pick. There's a bunch of first round picks on this team who are either young or coming off of, you know, maybe who need bounce back years. And if they do that, then you're looking at a team that's like, oh, maybe they got something here. But if they don't do that, then you've got a team that's just not going to compete for the playoffs. And so some guys need to take steps and they need to do it pretty quickly, but their opportunity is going to be there as well. So you can't count anybody out until you see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. I wonder if something that is going to be different this year is consistency in line matches. I feel like that was one, like, I like Tortorella as a coach. I liked a lot of his systems. I liked a lot of what he did with the team. Obviously, you know, he kind of put some respect on Columbus's name in this league. They were a really bad team before him. But something that I really struggled with Tortorella is that if something's not working, like four shifts into the game, he's like, oh, we'll change it. And I think that was, you know, especially new guys to the team, Max Domi, I think never really got a chance to get going, because as soon as he started to find something, he was moved to a different line. Line A kind of had the same problem. And I wonder if something that's going to help these guys is if Brad Larsen is willing to say, okay, you guys are going to stay together the entire game. Let's see what happens, and let's like review after the game, I guess.
Yeah, and that was one of those, certainly Torts always got, I mean, I came to really hate that term at the end of the day, the line blender. Everyone talked about it all the time. But it just kind of, I understood where Torts was coming from, and that if something's not working, why stick with it at a certain time? And so the problem last year was they just never found any, I mean, he tried so many different things, and they just never, something would work one game, and then the next game, it was a disaster. And then he felt like he had to change it up. And it just, there was never a line at any point last season that felt like they put three or four or five good games together in a row. It was, you know, they'd have a line that would go out and play really well one game and then just be, again, be terrible the next game. And so it just, he wasn't really dealt a good hand as far as that goes. But I also understand, you know, it's almost like the chicken or the egg for me. Do the lines not have any chemistry because they don't stick together? Or are the lines broken up because there's no chemistry? You know, it's one of those things that could kind of go either way. But I definitely understand there were times where it was like, okay, Torts, like, just stick with it here. But there are also times where when he would change up the lines, I'd go, yeah, well, they're playing terribly. So I don't understand why you want to keep something together that's not working. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I mean, Torts probably was a little quick to change things at times. There's no doubt about that. And there were times where even I wanted to be like, just stick with something a little bit here. More so maybe back in like the 1920 season or the 1819 season, where they actually had lines that mostly stuck together. And there were times where it was just like, just stick with them and let them go. But last year, I don't really fault him, because he just was always looking for something that worked and he just couldn't find anything. And with it being a short season last year, only 56 games, they didn't really have time to waste. It was, you know, they couldn't just say, okay, we're going to stick with the same lines for 10 games. And, you know, at the end of the day, when those lines didn't work, they kind of had to change things up and try to find it. So,
and that's about all the time I've got for you today. Tomorrow, I'll be back with some more Tortorella talk with Jeff Svoboda. You can find him at Jackets Insider. You can find me at underscore Jacob Foster, JakobForster. You can find this podcast at LO_BlueJackets. If you have comments, questions, criticisms, you can email me at lockedonbluejackets@gmail.com. And until tomorrow, make sure you stay locked on.